We did begin a new series last week. It's on the Holy Spirit, and we're coordinating it with a Wednesday night study, a life group study. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be this Wednesday. It's going to be what day? Thursday. And we're going to dig into the topic of who the Holy Spirit is and his work in our lives, his work in the church, his work in the world. And we already heard testimony from people of just recognizing his presence more in their life, their guidance in their life. And this is really what begins to happen when you start talking about the things of God. Faith comes by hearing, and your faith starts to rise up, and you begin to notice who he is in his presence. And to be led by the Holy Spirit is really the most vital thing for us in our lives.
Amen.
For anybody who wants to be a disciple, God has a plan and purpose for our lives. How else could we possibly walk that out if we are not led by the Holy Spirit within us?
Right.
And so this is a beautiful truth, wonderful, magnificent, supernatural truth that God himself dwells on the inside of every true believer. And we're going to share with you part two today of what we started last week. We talked about being empowered by the Holy Spirit last week and a little bit about who he was. And we're going to go into a few more of those scriptures again today about why Jesus said you need to be endued with power from on high to be a witness for him in the earth, the power of the Holy Spirit. How many of you would like a little bit more power in your life?
Only a few?
Only a few. We all need a power boost from the Holy Spirit, I would say. And so keep your heart and your mind and your spirit open to Scripture this morning, because Scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as we hear the Word of God spoken, when you sit there and you have an open mind and heart, you'll receive.
Amen.
Okay? And so say, my mind and heart are open.
My mind and heart are open.
You need to say that. You need to say to God, my mind and my heart are open to your spirit this morning.
Yes.
That's so important that we make those confessions of our own faith in what we believe God can and wants to do in our life and agree with him. And so it's Jesus' intention that his disciples or his sons and daughters would be witnesses for him in the earth, would be the people that would take the manifestation of his kingdom out into the world.
Right.
And establish his kingdom in the world. I think most everybody's familiar with the Lord's Prayer that Jesus said. He taught his disciples when they said, teach us to pray. And he said, pray like this, that our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Most of us probably know the next verse. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth, as it is where? In heaven. And so our God, the Father, has a holy kingdom.
Amen.
And he has a holy will that he wants established in the earth. He wants it established in our lives. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So he wants his will done in your life and manifested in the earth. And God's kingdom is a supernatural kingdom.
Come on.
Right? He's God. I mean, just read through the Gospels, you read through the book of Acts, and you realize there's just supernatural stuff happening everywhere.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
In Mark 16, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And he said that signs would follow them as they preached the gospel.
Come on.
And the signs did follow them, casting out devils, speaking in new tongues, healing the sick, raising the dead. And he said, I'm with you. I am with you. As you preach the word of God, because it said they went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord confirmed the word with signs following.
Yes.
So he confirmed his word with signs following. In the first couple hundred years of the church, supernatural occurrences were just normal in the church.
Yes.
If you read church history, you'll see that.
It's
documented in church history. And some have argued that the Lord did that only to get his church established. We're going to show a little bit about the kingdom here. And then it all basically died away. How many of you have
heard that?
I hope no hand went up, because that'd be great if you didn't ever hear that. Because God by nature and by character is supernatural.
Come on.
And he said this in Malachi 3. We just have this up on PowerPoint for you to see. In Malachi 3, he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." Right? And then Jesus said in Hebrews 13, 8, it's written, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And so God has not changed. His supernatural power has not changed.
Or diminished.
Or diminished, right. But people's hearts have changed. Since faith is of the heart, that makes all the difference. Because if faith in my heart dies down and fades, then guess what? I don't see the supernatural power of God. And people will ask, well, why don't we see these things happening like they did in the book of Acts? And I think if we were more honest with ourselves, we would ask ourselves, we'd have to admit, I need to first repent of my unbelief in my mind and heart.
Come on.
Right?
Yes. All of us.
I mean, the devil works tirelessly to assault our minds with questions and doubts about the goodness of God and who God is and who you are in Christ, even.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what happened. I'm sure it did in the early church. Unbelief just slowly crept in. And then when you don't see the power of God at work, people just make up their own man-made doctrines from it. Well, I guess is he just wanted his power to cease. And this is why people have said, this is why miracles have just passed away. But if that's the case, the supernatural nature and power of God, God himself would just have to disappear. Because man's thinking puts God in a man-made box and just sits him in there. Here's what I think.
Yep.
If it doesn't make sense to me, then I guess you can't do it, Lord.
Mm.
I mean, I heard an old saint of God years ago say something like this, that people's minds are like cement. Except he was a southerner and he said cement. People's minds are like cement, you know, all mixed up and permanently set.
Mm.
And I thought, that is so true. He's talking about mental blocks of just unbelief, that sometimes just our minds are just stuck in a certain pattern and way of thinking, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit to start softening and chipping away at those man-made thoughts. Because unbelief in our heart will stop the power of God from flowing in our midst and even flowing in your own life.
And that's so true. I mean, we have it documented through the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 13 and in Mark chapter 6. Jesus is in his hometown. His own hometown. And what does it say? It says in there that he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Not that he lost his power. See, we have more responsibility to walk in the kingdom's principles than you think. Most of the time when things don't happen for you, it's because you don't really believe. And it's the same with me. I have to start growing in my faith, and so do you. You know, Jesus got irritated with his disciples. You remember that? Yeah, there was a boy who had epilepsy, and Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Everybody's saying, oh, no, they can't. And the man comes, Jesus, help me, my son. Your disciples couldn't do it, you know. And Jesus says, what did Jesus say to his disciples? How long do I have to put up with you? And he might be saying that to you and me right now.
Yeah.
Forever, Lord, I'm yours. Oh, my gosh. You know, Jesus walked on the water and said, Peter, come on. You know, Peter said, if it's you. I mean, he put Jesus in a, if it's you. Well, it's of course it's me. And said, come. And then Peter goes out there a little ways. Then how about the time when they were in the boat and there was a storm? These are professional fishermen. They said, we're going to die. This storm is so bad, we're going to die. So they actually knew how bad it was. What did Jesus say? He said this, why are you afraid? That's a good lesson right there. This is a bad situation. And then he says, what? Why are you afraid? And he says, where's your faith? as though we were going to be doing something about the situation. Yeah, but you know that in John's gospel, Jesus said that the works that I do, you'll do also, and even greater works than these, because I go to the Father. We got to pray that these chains, like we sang, are broken. They fall off. There's a band around our head, and it's got to come off, because we got to start believing in the supernatural, because God is supernatural. The scripture says for us to get our minds renewed. Well, how do we do that? The Bible gives us instruction on how to do that. We have to get our minds renewed by the Word of God. The Word of God. You know, these things are, Jesus says, these are just normal kingdom things. That's why he's mad at his disciples. He's, what? How can, these are just normal kingdom things. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. We want to manifest the kingdom of God through ourselves. We're believers, amen? God expects us to think with the mind of the Spirit. Jesus said his words are spirit and truth. So when we put his words in us as we read the word, we find that the word is reading us, because it'll show you wrong thinking. What do? Then we bail out. We take our thoughts, that's the chain, we break them by the power of the Holy Spirit, and then we start to think his thoughts. We start to think with the mind of the Spirit. We need to read the word and then simply obey it. Simply obey it. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the gateway to the supernatural. And it begins when you're born again. When you're born again, Scripture says that that person who's born again, God's Spirit comes and recreates your inward man. The hidden man of the heart is born again. It's recreated. It has the likeness of God. You have the DNA of God in you. Something supernatural happened to you. You didn't see it. Sometimes you don't feel anything. Other times, people do. You're a supernatural being right now if you're born again. You're a spirit, you have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions, and you live in a body. The Holy Spirit comes and recreates your spirit on the inward man. Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is one of my favorite scriptures here. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given us a job already. We're born again instantly, and Jesus says, okay, you're my witnesses. Go manifest the kingdom wherever you go. The Holy Spirit comes and makes his home within us. And Jesus referred to this in John chapter 4, the Gospel of John. He told the woman at the well, salvation is like this well. It's like this well. It wells up to salvation. It wells up into eternal life. That's the Spirit of God that's in you. And the Old Testament prophet says, with joy shall you draw water from the well of salvation. From the well of salvation. The Spirit of God, if you're born again, the Spirit of God himself lives in you. Yes. You really need to be recognizing this so that we can walk in these kingdom principles.
Right, and so salvation, as we know, it's a gift from God. We're saved by grace.
Yes.
Scripture says, Ephesians 2:8, through faith. But what we want to look at closer today in Scripture is this, and this is on your outline, this statement, there's a subsequent experience after being born of the Spirit that Jesus referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Subsequent, meaning after a person is born again, born of the Spirit of God, there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit that Scripture mentions. And it's also a gift that we receive by faith. And Jesus had told them, we looked at this scripture last week, we're going to look at a little bit of it again this week. He told them to wait in the upper room. There was 120 of them there when he kept appearing to him after his crucifixion and resurrection from the grave. And there were 120 of them that he said, wait, in an upper room. Mm-hmm. They were in unity and praying, waiting together for what Jesus called was, he said, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what my Father promised. Wait till it comes upon you, and then you go out and be my witnesses. He said, you heard me speak of it. If you read the first chapter of Acts, you see this pretty mm-hmm. plainly. And then in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, something supernatural happened. The Spirit of God came. It said like a mighty rushing wind. And the room was filled with the Holy Spirit. And yep. It was like likened to tongues of fire that rested upon the heads of all the people, 120 of them. Mary, Jesus' mother included.
Right.
In that whole bunch of them. And it said they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak and worship God in an unknown tongue. But they were worshiping God as they were doing it, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Right. And we believe that this gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is still available today.
Scripture indicates it all. Amen. It's clear. It's very clear.
We take that belief straight from Scripture, all right? And we know that this belief, doctrinal belief, has caused feuds in the body of Christ. It's caused splits mm-hmm. in churches. I mean, whole denominations are sometimes built against it.
Yeah.
But let's look at what the Bible has to say
about
it, right?
Come on, girl, come on.
We want to see what the Bible has to say about it, because it really doesn't matter what you or I think about it. What matters is what Scripture says about it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
come on.
This, as a disciple, this is our final authority.
Amen.
This is what we submit to. This is who we renew our mind to, what God's Word says. And so you might have heard something from your Aunt Susie or your Tom, your friend at work, said, I don't know if I agree with that, but you might just have to smile sometimes at people and politely just say, well, you know what, I'm siding in with what God says
Amen.
On it.
Amen.
Because they may be good people, and I'm sure they are good people, but sometimes we just have to agree to disagree mm-hmm. and go with God if we're going to walk in the things of God. And so over the years, just people have developed a lot of man-made thoughts and traditional thinking about the supernatural,
yeah.
whether it's healing, whether it's gifts of the Spirit, whether it's speaking in an unknown, praying in the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
People have said, oh, all that has ceased. When the last apostle died, all that went away. And there's a whole camp of people out there that call themselves cessationists.
Right.
I didn't say sensationalist. I said cessationalist. That means they ceased.
Right.
Everything, all the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. But there is not one scripture. Take me to one scripture that shows me that.
It's not found.
Take me to one.
Come on, girl. Preach it.
Because it hasn't ceased. I mean, really, if you get right down to it, it's like a doctrine of the devil.
Correct.
That he would want us to believe that. Skeptical minds about the issue are more the problem when it comes to these things, because you and I have to press in by faith if we're going to receive the things that God has for us in our lives.
Come on.
We're going to have to get our minds renewed and press in. How many of you have been walking with God for any length of time and you realize there's a struggle to this? There's a fight to this.
Come on.
And
yes.
like the song we sang this morning, sometimes you have to yell it out in the privacy of your own home. Chains bow.
Yeah.
You know,
come on.
Go. Fear bow.
Yes.
Chains fall off of me.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Because the devil is going to push, the demons are going to push up against you and say, do you really believe it? Do you really believe it? At some point, you know, we either sometimes sit down and go, oh, I don't know if I do believe it. You've got to stand up and say, no, these chains are coming off. They're
yeah.
off in Jesus' name.
Come on.
And so it's the same thing with receiving things in the supernatural, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
We have to press in by faith. We have to look at what Scripture says and let faith arise in our heart. And then it becomes easy to receive
Come on.
Some of these things.
Ooh.
I mean, I know when Jesus had difficulty, I thought with his disciples, you just mentioned it, with a boy with epilepsy.
Yes.
And his disciples prayed for them. And they couldn't heal him. They couldn't cast the demon out. And Jesus came. I mean, he didn't say, yep, boys, you know, since I guess your prayers didn't work, I guess my power's fading, it's ceasing, it's just going away. He's like, no. He said, this kind does not go out except for by prayer and fasting. See, that's the pressing in.
Come on.
It's like, it's going to sometimes take more effort than just letting it fall on us and say, I believe. Because like I said, the devil's going to want to come up and say, do ya? Do ya? And if you're holding on to the word, he's going to say, let me just see how much you...
Yeah,
he's going to try to steal it from you. And so we have to know that we know what we believe.
Amen.
And so let's just tell God our heart is open. Right? Is your heart open today to receive?
Yes.
Yeah. And just say, my heart is open to receive, Lord.
My heart is open to receive,
All
Lord.
All right, so we want to take a look at some scripture and show you in the Word of God how this baptism of the Holy Spirit is after, comes after. It's the second gift after being born again. And so,
You know what? We believe that the scriptures indicate in John chapter 20, verses 21 through 23. See, you've got to press in. You know, just coming to church on Sunday isn't going to make it for us anymore. Hello, we're in some end time deal here. We have to be fortified in our hearts with the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that help you get discernment of what's happening here. Because what's the biggest trick the devil's going to have in the end times? False miracles. So if we have the Word of God buried in our heart, coming off our mouth, we're going to be able to discern the difference between light and darkness, truth and lies. We believe in John chapter 20, the disciples were born again. This is after Jesus was raised from the dead. He appeared, I love this, doors are locked, doors are closed, and he just walked right through. Yes, I'm doing that. I'm coming to your house in heaven. I'm walking right through the walls. I'm here! And then I'm going to make it snow in your living room. Love it! Back to the
Just
message.
Preach the message. That's right. Just keep going.
John 20. It says this. So Jesus said to them, he's appeared, peace to you. I guess he'd have to say peace. And all of a sudden he shows up. Peace to you. And he says, as the Father sent me, I also send you. That Father sent him with power, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Just as the Father sent him, Jesus is now sending us. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained. So the disciples here, they're receiving the Holy Spirit. He mentions forgiveness. And this is one thing for you and I to be born again. We have to repent of our sins. We have to ask God to forgive us for our rebellion against him. And so here he is. He's talking about being born again, becoming a new creation. Yet look at, again, here, what did Jesus tell them that before he ascended back into heaven? They're born again, okay? They're born again, John 20. Now we're going to go to Luke 24. This is in Luke, right before he's raised up and the clouds receive him. He said to them, thus it's written, it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to raise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of these things. And look, I am sending the promise of my Father. Look at these next two words. Say it.
Upon you.
Say it again.
Upon you.
Upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem till you are clothed with power on high. They've already been born again. They've received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is dwelling within them. But what's the word? The word, it says, wait. Yes. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wait till the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Look at this next scripture here. Acts chapter 1. Pastor Mamie talked about this. There, he says this, being assembled with them, he commanded them. Okay, what's that word? He did what?
Commanded.
Whoa, that's strong language, isn't it? This is God saying this. Jesus, he's saying this. He commanded them, do not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you've heard from me. For John baptized in water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Then jump down. That was Acts chapter 4. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has what?
Come upon you.
Come upon you. Say it again. He does what?
Come upon you.
Yes. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. John 20, they're born again. And Acts, well, in Luke and in Acts, he's talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to come upon them. And look, here's the glorious day. Acts chapter 2, and the day of Pentecost had come. They were together in one place. Suddenly, the sound of a mighty rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them tongues of fire being distributed and what? Resting on them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. We see supernatural stuff happening here, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, Peter, 50 days before, about a month or so before, a little girl is asking him, I think you're with this Jesus guy. Peter's afraid. I don't know him. He said it three times. I don't know him. There's a little servant girl. He's afraid. But now what happens? The Holy Spirit has come upon him. He's bold. Yeah. If you listen to that, if you read what he spoke of, he says, you killed the Prince of Life.
Yeah.
Whoa. But God raised him up. And then he said, you need to repent of your sins. What happened? 3,000 people got saved that day.
Yeah.
That's a revival, folks. It all happened because the Holy Spirit came
upon
them. He says at the end, look at this. At the end of Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 2, verse 39, here is something that will enlighten you. He says, for the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you, what is it? And your children. You mean those children can be filled with the Holy Ghost? And for all who are far away. You and I were far away, weren't we? I mean, that happened 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty far away.
Yeah.
As many as the Lord God calls to himself. How many people does God want saved?
Everybody.
Who's the gift of the Holy Spirit for?
Everybody. Right.
Did it stop?
No.
How could it stop when he's saying it's for you and your children and all those who are far off? All those who God would call to himself. Okay. I'm getting it, Lord. I'm figuring it out. See, you know, we pray for you. We pray that God would give you revelation.
Yeah.
I mean revelation. Your eyes would be open and you'd see this. Not just with your head, but with your heart. Because faith is of the heart. This is where the power is in your faith. And we all need more, amen?
Amen.
And we all want more power, amen?
Amen?
I want more power. Are you kidding me? This is how we go for it.
So in Acts chapter.
Preach, woman, your turn.
I'm just waiting for you.
I love this.
So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is what we wanted to establish. Is subsequent. Again, it's after salvation. It's after. In Acts chapter 5, and there are some places throughout the book of Acts that you're going to see this pretty plainly.
Clear.
Like, for instance, in Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 5, there's Philip, he's the evangelist. He's holding this, like, a great miracle crusade in Samaria. And demons were being cast out. Healings were occurring. And listen to how the story goes in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. Verse 6, the crowds with one accord were giving attention to what was said by Philip as they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike. So here are these people, they're being baptized in water.
Mm-hmm.
And they were born again.
Yes.
They were baptized, they were born again and water baptized. Verse 14, it says, now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard about all this, that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John. Verse 15, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, for he had not yet fallen upon any of them.
Upon.
An interesting story. Look at the words. He had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 17, then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. How plain is that?
Yes!
I mean, it really couldn't be any plainer. You don't lay your hands on somebody to be born again. You pray a prayer of faith from your heart. You don't really need somebody to lay hands on you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
It's often a point of contact to release your faith. But I was filled with the Holy Spirit by reading about it and just opening my heart by faith, sitting at my desk at work when I was a nurse. Went to work one morning, had been hearing about all of this, and took a book with me. One of the chapters was about how to have more power from God, and was reading it at my desk before the shift started. And all of a sudden, it was like, the question was, would you like more power? Just begin to receive by faith. Just lift up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, fill me with your spirit. And I did it sitting there. I remember thinking, if the person I share this office with comes in right now, I don't even know what I'm going to do, because I could already just feel like, I started to just whisper and pray out in the spirit. So you don't have to have somebody lay hands upon you. I remember even going out across the hall, I thought, this is incredible. It's kind of crazy. It's incredible. And I went across the hall, opened up the door to the bathroom, and went and stood in front of the mirror and just prayed in the spirit silently. I mean, I was worshiping God and thought, I feel like I have a tongue of fire on my head.
Yeah.
I feel like if I walk up the hall and go to the nurse's station, they're all going to go, what is up with you? And I didn't say, I didn't say anything, but I felt, you could feel the power of God
yes.
come upon you. And I can say from that day forward, mm-hmm. I remember, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd think, something has just come alive in me about this.
Amen.
Even the boldness to
yes.
speak to people that I was working with. One of the gals, nurses that I worked with one day, said to me, and I didn't tell her anything that happened, but she's on the phone one day, said, what is up with you? Like, all of a sudden, you're talking about God, 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 God. And I'm thinking, I started to explain to her later on, we joined a church, and we've been learning about the things of God. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I say all that you don't have to have hands laid upon you. You can receive just by opening up your own heart in faith.
Yes.
And we're going to run out of time here, but Acts 19, I want to show you one more place. There are a few places in the book of Acts, but Acts 19, verse 1, Paul comes to Ephesus and he finds some new disciples, okay?
Yes.
So Apostle Paul asks some questions to be sure they're understanding what the new covenant is about. And it says there, it happened that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and he found some disciples. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Interesting, this was Paul's first question to them. Did you receive the Holy Spirit? In other words, did he come upon you when you believed?
Mm-hmm.
And they said to him, no, we've not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Paul said, well, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so Paul was helping them get their doctrine right. It's like, you're going to be baptized in the name of Jesus. This is who you're saved.
Yes.
This is who saves you, Jesus. That John the Baptist was the forerunner to Jesus' ministry, really, to get the people's hearts ready. So those
Correct.
People were then born again. Verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands then upon them.
What?
The Holy Spirit, what? Came on them, and they began what? speaking in tongues and prophesying.
Yes.
And here we see it again. It's after they were born of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God comes on them when Paul prays his hand and they just believe simply in faith. And so why do we seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, number one, and the most important thing, Jesus commanded it. That should be enough.
Yes,
amen?
That should be enough.
For true followers of Christ, that should be plenty enough. You know, it's a major part of the kingdom living. We need to get it right. It's a major part of the kingdom living. Acts chapter 4, verse 1, we looked at it. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, don't you want power? Yes, God wants to give you power. Jesus commanded. Number one, Jesus commanded. That's plenty enough. Number two, it's a gift for all believers. We looked at that scripture. For those who are you, your children, and those who are far off, as many as the Lord God will call to himself. It's a gift for all believers. Why do we seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It helps you pray.
Yes.
I'm telling you, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will revolutionize your prayer life. There is no question about it. It opens your heart to the supernatural. Look at what it says here in Corinthians. For the one who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands, but his spirit is speaking mysteries. You're speaking directly to God. You're speaking mysteries. You know, you and I don't know what's happening in 3 years from now in your life.
Right.
But if you start praying in tongues, you're speaking out mysteries. You're speaking out mysteries. And as you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, Pastor Mamie said it very early in the message, that we're to be led by the Spirit. That's how you know that you are a son and daughter of God. You're being led by the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible says. We're not making this up. That's what the Bible says. So when you're yielding to the Holy Spirit, you become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Who wants that? Me. I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so he can lead me out of trouble. Go around trouble. He can lead me through trouble. Trouble's coming, guys. We can't avoid that. But if I have the greater one in me, I can stand in that trouble and walk through it.
That's right.
Come on now. Come on. Oh, man, I love this stuff. I love this Jesus. He's just remarkable. Thank you for that, amen. Look, this is on our outline here. It says it's a private prayer language. It enables you to pray perfect prayers to God beyond your understanding.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what's happening in 15 minutes.
Look at 1 Corinthians 2:9.
There you go.
I mean, talk about things that are beyond our understanding. I mean, God is full of wisdom, right? He's mighty. He's all-knowing. And so there is a mystery to him. Look at what it says, no eye has seen, 1 Corinthians 2:9. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind has conceived all the things God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit.
There.
Wow.
Hello.
For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. See, there's a destiny that we have in Christ that our natural mind cannot comprehend.
There.
Many of you and I, how many of us struggle with our identity in Christ? You're loved. You're accepted. You're his beloved child.
You're forgiven.
You're forgiven.
Hallelujah.
You're valued. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. I mean, none of us have just gone, oh, yeah, I get it. I walk in that. I'm really secure in all that. No, some of these things are mysteries that we need to press into.
Yes.
1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have not received the Spirit that belongs to the world. But the Holy Spirit who is from God, given to us, why? That we might realize and comprehend and appreciate the gifts of divine favor
Hallelujah.
And blessing so freely and lavishly Woo. Bestowed on us by God.
Come
he
on.
Wants us to understand. It's our natural human mind that can only sometimes go so far.
Right. Right.
And so when you're praying in the Spirit, you are in the unknown tongue, you're praying out secrets and mysteries of God's plan for your life and even the lives of your children, your family.
Oh, my gosh. Look at number four here. I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah. You're preaching really good. I should sit down and listen.
No. You are sitting down and you are listening. You're such a good man. Okay. Number four.
What? I didn't hear you. Yeah.
You're awesome, man.
See, guys, that's a trick. Oh, I didn't hear you, hon. Make her say it twice.
Yell it. Turn up your hearing.
Look at number four. Being filled with the Holy Spirit helps you in worship.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'll pray in the Spirit. I'll pray with my understanding. I'll sing in the Spirit. I'll also sing with my understanding. You're praying and singing and worshiping God in a pure way. You know, we reach a place many times, even in our prayer time, or just thanking God. You come to a point where it's like almost to the place where you think, oh, thank you's just not enough to tell him.
Yeah.
Anybody been there?
Yes.
You should all be there. But there's a time then, too, now that after I go as far as I can with my understanding, now I start to go in the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work through me to praise God, worship Him in a pure, beautiful way.
Yeah. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. This is Paul talking to the Corinthian church. He's talking to the church, and he's explaining to them how the gifts of the Spirit work and even how the baptism of the Spirit works. He says, I will pray with my spirit,
yep,
and I will also pray with the understanding. So praying with the Spirit is praying in an unknown tongue.
Right.
But I'm praying with my understanding. I'm praying out words in the English tongue. Then he says, I will sing with the Spirit. And I'll also sing with my understanding. Maybe some of you during worship here this morning, you might hear somebody quietly singing in the Spirit. During one of those quiet times whenever the worship team is playing, maybe in between a song. Those are the moments where you can lift your voice to God.
Yes.
And just sing quietly in the Spirit. You're singing a beautiful mystery unto God. And there are times in worship, and if you haven't reached those times, you need to.
Amen.
Where you don't have words to express what's in your heart, how much you love God. Or even when you're looking at your children, you're thinking, I don't know what else to pray for you because I feel like I've prayed everything I know to pray with my understanding. Well, that's when you could pray in an unknown tongue. And you're praying out secrets and mysteries from the heart of God that the devil does not understand. That's the beauty
right.
of this language.
Yes.
And this is why I think the devil fights so hard to make people turn away from it.
Because there's power.
Because there's power in it. There's power for the church in it. And when we become a church united around it, I think that's that tongues of fire. Like when you come into worship together, when we're all in unity together and we're all lifting up our hearts in the Spirit together, beautiful things can happen. I believe that's why you do see miracles sometimes on the foreign field. Because people's hearts are childlike about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural of God.
And there's a time, too, that people think, oh, that's gibberish, that's ridiculous. Listen, you seek after God with your heart, not with your mind. Because your heart is the real you, your spirit, the hidden man of the heart. This is what Corey Russell said. God conceals his glory in foolish things. Some of you think that praying in tongues is foolish. But if you'd submit your natural human understanding to the ways of the Spirit, you'll find that his Spirit coming on you, and it will release his Spirit within you.
I mean, it does seem like God likes to wrap his glory around things that the natural mind or the world calls foolish.
Yes.
Because you have to seek it then in faith with your heart. And that God enjoys that. God likes that. And so let's just all stand here as we close out the service. You know, we invite you to come up after the service. If you feel like, I want you to pause and close your eyes. Just get alone with God here for a moment.
Right.
Because this is really how we learn to be led by the Spirit of God. He's here where two or more gather in his name. There I am in the midst. So he's here in the room. And if you are a believer, he's living on the inside of you. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, have never spoken in other tongues, I want you to ask him, is this a gift you want me to have? Is this something for me, Lord? And if you sense the answer, and I believe the answer would be yes, it's a gift that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave to give you.
Yes.
Then I want you to tell him, I'm going to pursue it. You know, sometimes even just talking in a service like this, the baptism of the Spirit comes on people and they just begin to speak in other tongues now. But I pray that the fire would fall. I pray the fire would fall on everybody in this room in Jesus' name. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit would come just like a mighty rushing wind in this room and fall upon all of us, Lord. We are hungry for you.
Yes.
We are desperate for you, Holy Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing. Yes. Let those rivers of living water flow from our inner being. Let it come out. Let it come out. Release it, Lord. We release it, Father, in your presence.
Yes.
The power of your Spirit.
Yes. And if you're filled with the Holy Ghost right now, let's just worship him in other tongues.
Worship him for a moment, just quietly in your chair. We worship you, Lord. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of speaking in an unknown tongue that we can worship and praise you in. I thank you, Father, for the fire, Lord. The fire of your Spirit falling in this place, Lord. Falling upon us, Lord. Let every hungry heart be holy ground, Lord. Just like we sang in the song.
Yes.
Today, we're going to just step out here for a moment. I know we're a little bit out of time, but if you feel like I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're bold enough, would you like to come forward? We'll lay our hands upon you.
You'll receive
the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Anybody? You know, the early church, I think, did this. They would probably, in a room like this, maybe huddle around together, hold hands, and just pray together and say, God, we want you. I want more of you in my life. Anybody? I want to just pray with anybody who would like to receive.
I want to make sure before that you understand being filled with the Holy Ghost is a subsequent, something that happens after you're born again. The greatest thing, the greatest miracle on this planet is that a human heart is born again. You don't get born again by being water baptized as a child. That's not in the Bible. You're not a Christian just because you come to church. Just like if you walk in a garage, you're not a car. You have to surrender your heart to Jesus. You have to recognize what he says, that everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. No one can stand before God without Jesus. It is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. If you're not born again, I'm giving you an opportunity right here, because being born again takes your faith. And you, faith is in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. So you have to speak. It's all up to you. It's up to you. Is there anyone here today that wants to have Jesus, that wants to be born again? Born into the family of God. Have your sins completely forgiven. Do you know that God throws them in the sea of forgetfulness? He never will bring them up to you again. But you have to do something to have that happen. You have to repent of your sin. Walk away. Turn away. And you have to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. Anybody here today wants to be born again? Raise your hand. Yes. Chains will fall. You'll be born of God's Spirit. Come on, be bold. Okay. I didn't see any hands go up.
Just invite them to go for a prayer.
Yes. I have to say, sometimes being filled with the Holy Ghost, you have to get away from people. Amen. Pastor Mamie says she was filled with the Holy Ghost in her office. I was filled with the Holy Ghost driving by myself in a van on 422. I figured if anybody on this planet was going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost ever again, it was going to be me. I was pressing in. If you want some more information or you want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, our prayer team is over here to your left, my right. There's John and Cindy over there. They'll lay hands on you. You'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you need prayer for any other reason, they're ready to pray for you. They're ready to show you what the Bible says about your situation. Oh, it's good. Amen. Keep yielding your heart to the Holy Spirit. Yield your heart to God. Give your life into Him.